Yeah, no grace and no salvation. No access to God. You can't earn it. You're not good enough. Never will be. You can't find him. He has to reveal himself to you. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 4 and verse 1. Second Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 1. The Apostle Paul considered young Timothy his son in the faith. Timothy had a good upbringing, had a good grandmother and a good mother. He had a Greek father, but he learned from the Lord, from his parents, his grandmother and his mother. The Apostle says in verse number 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned to fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed to Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus. When thou comest, bring with thee and the books, but especially the parchments. Father, bless this book now, and give me unction to preach it in your holy name. Amen. The Apostle Paul had simple needs like all the rest of us, and he had someone that would see to those needs, and he called upon Timothy to help him. He wanted the books. He wanted the parchments. In verse 13, verse 14, he mentions Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. What Alexander was, he was a creator of idols. He was a maker of idols, and that was his stock in trade. And when the Apostle Paul came preaching the word of God, the idol business dried up. Because they found out they were introduced to the true God. The apostle gives you his testimony, his end of his life. He's coming down to a time to leave. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. And not for one moment was there any regret in that, because he knew a man in Christ, whether 14 years ago, whether in the body or out, he couldn't tell, but he was caught up to the third heaven. The apostle knew what was waiting for him. He said to depart and be with Christ, which is far greater, far better. But he said, it's needful, therefore, that I stay with you. In 1976, when I came to this church, I was 29 years old. I got saved in 1973. God came to me, brought conviction to me. My world turned dark. I was under the strongest conviction that you could possibly understand. And I couldn't live with it. And I had to do something about it. And so I called upon the Lord a few days later, had a deacon from the church come over, sit down, open the Bible. And I called upon the Lord, and I bowed my head and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, a simple prayer. But I raised my head back up, and man, was I ever a different person. And that was my testimony, folks. That was my testimony. I came from a dark world, unsaved, lost without God. I was 27 years old, 1973, 27. Been in the military 4 years, got out and was working, and God convicted me. Call me by his grace. That's what happened. That was my road to Damascus. I had an encounter with God. It making a difference whether people believe it or not. You got all the atheists and agnostics out there can spew all they please. I know what happened to me. I was there. He changed my life. He put something in me that can't be explained away. It's there and has been. The fact is, it's grown sweeter by the day. 1976, I came to this church the first Sunday in August, 1976. I was green as that grass. I didn't know much. Didn't know much at all. I really didn't have anyone to take me under their wing to teach me anything. I just scratched around, read on my own. And I dug. Believe me, I did some reading. I did some research. And I wanted to learn as much as I could about what I had entered in, the world that I was part of. And I had a burning desire for this book. I mean, I had never had that before. But boy, I could not get enough of the Bible. Now, how do you explain that? I mean, night and day I was reading this book. I was in it, and it just opened up to my soul and began to do something to affect my life. I had a love for the Lord Jesus Christ that began to develop in my soul. For the Lord Jesus Christ, His name and who He is. And it just did something for me. Just to hear His name, it just moved my heart and moved me. And that no doubt was the work of the Holy Spirit in me. And doing that when He did. But when I came to Temple in 1973, I wasn't part of anybody's school. I wasn't part of anybody's movement. I didn't belong to anybody's inner circle. I didn't have to please anybody. Didn't have to agree with anybody. I didn't have to get anybody's permission. I just opened the book and read back and started preaching what God put on my soul. And I'll be honest with you this morning, folks, I went to war. I went to war. I pulled out the weapons, and I mean, I went to war. And probably too hard at times, and probably too straight at gun barrel straight at times, and I'm sure many times didn't show the kind of compassion that I should have. But I was in a knockdown, drag-out fight. I mean, when I opened up that Bible, it was war, and Satan knew it. And that's how I preached. Until I began to grow, until I began to mature. I'm still at war. Don't make any mistake about what I'm saying to you this morning. I'm still at war, believe me. But God has allowed me to learn a few things, and He holds me to a standard He didn't hold me to then. He holds me accountable where He didn't hold me accountable then. He's taught me too much. I know too much. There's no way in the world that I could get away with some of the things that I did back then. But that's all right. It's not a matter of getting away with anything. It's a matter of understanding the nature of the enemy, the nature of the battle, the things that are involved in it. And I understand these things today. I know I've watched it. I've watched apostasy. I've watched it develop in the church. I've watched the church become essentially just a religious presentation, a religious experience. And it's no longer the soul, this like this song you just heard a moment ago. Now that wasn't given to you to entertain you. I mean, if you're used to going to churches where you're entertained and you know and feel good, you're in the wrong place. And it's not that we don't want you. You're welcome. We want you here. With all of our heart and soul, we do. That came from the soul. Amen. That speaks on a level, my dear friend, that these people know nothing about. And that's what I'm trying to speak to you this morning, on a level that they know nothing about. I'm trying to talk to you today about 50 years. I got up this morning and I thought to myself, man, it's been 50 years ago. And someone asked me 50 years ago, will you be at this church 50 years from now? And I said, good night, son, what are you talking about? Had no idea. You don't know these things, though. All I did was follow the Lord. All I did was daily as I read my Bible and I prayed, stayed where God wanted me to be. And that's why I'm here today. That's why I'd make a choice. I didn't come to Temple 50 years ago and say, well, I'm going to be there 50 years. No, I didn't do that. But here I am. And here I am. And I am what you see, folks. You can take my computer. You can get any computer I got in my house. I've built computers. I know computers. And you can take them and you can look at where they've been and all that stuff. You'll not find any pornography on my computers. You can go out here and look at these young men that are sitting in this building right here, and you can look at their computers and see if I've been sending them sexual pictures of me. Well, you're not going to find it. You can go to every hell hole in this town and talk to every prostitute in Knoxville, Tennessee, and you'll not find one. That's not saying that I'm great. That's not saying that I'm wonderful. What I'm saying to you is this. We are living in a time when men, big name men, big name ministers, they put them out in front of people. They put them out in front of these kids. And they make a big deal about them. And they get up and they say, every time he preaches, X number of people are going to get saved. And now it's blown up in their face. It's blown up in their face because they don't know the power of the Holy Spirit of God. If you don't have honesty, if you don't have a heartfelt ministry, if you're not who you are in front of these, it's a joke. And that's what's happening. Now they're rearranging, they're running, they don't know what to do. And I don't follow these people. I don't listen to their preaching. It's not that I'm against them. It's not that I have any vendetta today. The truth of the matter is, I pray for the victims and I pray for the families. When I came to this church 50 years ago, we had preachers in this town who had who'd been having an affair, had having affairs. In one case, bless your soul, one woman, she every day she was in the hospitals, the pastor's wife, she went from one place to the next. She was working night and day, serving the Lord, as good as they come. But this guy was a serial fornicator. And he was a pastor of one of the biggest Baptist churches in this town. Oh, yeah. And you see, the problem is the church tries to cover this stuff up. There was one down there in Florida, same thing. He'd been messing with the kids for years. Messing with them for years. It caught up with him. You can be sure that your sin will find you out. You send your stuff out, you take photographs of your body, and you send it out and put it on YouTube or here or there. It is forever. It is for anything you put on the internet, folks, it's forever. They can tell you they'll erase it, and so they do, but what about the 10,000 others that have it? But here's the problem. This fellow down there pastored that church in Florida, Jacksonville, Florida, pastored it for years and years and years and years, and then it finally caught up with him. You know what they did? They said, we'll send him off to Germany as a missionary. This was years ago. I was so naive in the ministry because I wasn't part of that crowd. I thought he went to Germany. It never crossed my mind. This was a cover-up. It was a cover-up. He'd been caught. But I wasn't thinking like that. I thought, my, God bless his soul. I mean, he's getting up in years, and now he wants to go to Germany, and he wants to be a missionary. And I come to find out what the story really was. All these broken hearts started coming out and say, he messed with me when I was 10. He messed with me when I was this. He's messed this and that and this and that. We're not going to cover up anything here. We're not going to do it. You give us your kids, these young people right here. They're not stupid. Let me tell you who stupid is. Stupid is somebody that photographs himself and sends it off somewhere and doesn't think he's going to get. You're stupid. Well, you're the biggest fool that ever lived. And they got your face out here in front of all their big movements. It's killing us, folks. I've learned this, and I firmly believe it. God's working in a smaller groups than he was. Interaction. These kids know each other. They're watching me. They're watching our youth leader over here. They're watching you. They're not stupid. They're not cattle. These kids right here have got a brain of their own. They're thinking. Can I trust this guy? How about this pastor here? Is he real or is he a joke? Is he a put on? Well, I'm not going to cover for any of them. But what I do pray this morning is that God will send, and I do earnestly pray, that God will send mature Christians into these ministries out here where these people have been, you know, all in your face, all how great you are. That he'll send mature Christians in there that can help restore these people. Can help restore them. That's what they need. And I have serious doubts this morning. Serious doubts that many of these guys even know the Lord. In the book of Acts, they were preaching this woman, she had the spirit of Puthos, Python. She said, these be the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Well, that's the truth. That was the truth. It was coming from a demon. It was the truth. Coming from a demon. And then you had one who wanted to buy the gift of laying on of hands to give the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, he was a necromancer. He was a spirit man. He was a miracle worker of his day. And if the church does not get back to its roots, its foundation of who we are and what we are, we're going to lose this young generation. We're going to lose them. We're going to lose them. They're going to walk out the door and they're going to say, I'm going to try to find something real. Right. You talk to them. You talk to them. They're looking for something real. Are you real? Are you hiding something? How many of you in here this morning, don't raise your hand now, how many of you are hooked on pornography? They say, the latest survey was that half of the men, and probably a lot of the women, in the churches in America are addicted to pornography. I guess that's why you need yourself a good hot worship leader, isn't it?
Amen.
Yeah, you need yourself a good hot worship leader. You need you a good one who really knows how to pump you up and make you feel good. Yeah, yeah. That's why you need him, because you come in dead as a doornail. I heard a man say yesterday, he said, the truth is that we profess that we know God and Christ, but we're practical atheists because we live our life without him. There's no part in him. There's no part. Well, see, now, this is a preacher that's been here 50 years. I'm watching this stuff. This is not somebody on the outside looking in. I'm on the inside. I'm in here. I'm in here with it daily. And I've met these guys down through the years. This one fellow, this serial fornicator. I'm saying serial fornicator, folks, not just one time. And here he is pastoring this big Baptist church, one after another. How in the world he didn't get caught sooner, I don't know. But the husbands of these women, they don't like this stuff. And so if you're going to start messing around with married women, old boys, you better watch out, because the husbands come after you. I'll never forget that funeral we went to a few years back. Here's a casket and here's another casket. And this old boy right here was messing around with a married woman, and the husband caught him, and here he started running around the trailer, and he finally ran him down and shot him to death because he's messing with his wife. So if you guys are married in here and you're messing with married women, be careful. You get shot to death. Yeah. Well, you know what he did? He took this serial fornicator and he left the church and he went off to another town, and a man who was a pastor of a big church up there put him immediately in another church pastoring it. Folks, you see anything wrong with that? You see what I'm saying to you this morning? Now, I know he needs to take care of his family. He needs to take care of his children, but he needs to get a job. For his own good, he needed somebody to help restore him. He needed somebody to start at square one with him. But it's hard to find people like that. It's easy to find people who run their mouth and run you down and tear you apart and take you apart. They're everywhere. But for somebody who has the heart and soul to say, oh God, imagine what this poor wife and these kids are going through. And they are going through it, believe me. And restore them. And then that preacher, restore him to get him back. But may not necessarily ever restore him to where he gets back in the pulpit again. He may have disqualified himself forever. From the pulpit, who knows? I'm not God. I'm not the judge of every man and what happens to every man. I'll leave that to the Almighty. But it's kind of hard to have confidence in somebody if you think that, you know, that that's happened to them. I don't know. I'll leave that to God. But I'll tell you this today. They need to be restored before they try to go back and minister to people. They've got to be restored. So what does it take to restore someone, first of all? Square one, they need to be born again. If they're not born again, you can't restore an unsaved person. They need to know the Lord. And just because they're up yelling and screaming in your face that you've got to be saved, some of these guys in the country here, they're up there preaching against homosexuality. They're preaching against all these sins. And I'm not condoning any of this stuff, but they're preaching against it and then doing the very thing that they're preaching against. Does that make you sick? Okay. So we're going to schedule a revival meeting. We're going to get through it. No, you're not. That's not going to help you. What'll help you? Honesty, clearing of the soul, repentance. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the church at Corinth, and they opened up, boy. That repentance, it brought tears, and it brought them together, and it brought the power of God into that place. But you don't see any repentance anymore. It's all about name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. You see, you get to the time, you get to the age. I'll be 80 in September the 17th. I'll be 80. I can't believe it. Lord have mercy, help us. 80 years old. I look in the mirror and I look at that face looking at me and I think, good night. You've been looking at me 80 years, son. Shave that face, wash it, you know. taking care of this old boy. 80 years in September. You get to the point in life where you've learned a few things and you're not scratching and clawing and trying to survive. You want to give back to people. That's what I'm trying to do this morning. Give back to you. To help you. I'm trying to say some things that will help you today. Get out of this garbage, this fakery, this put-on show. If you're not in a church that preaches repentance, get out of it. And here's another thing that I've learned, and it took a while. That back porch experience up here a few years ago, I explained it. Most of you have heard it, but let me explain it to you. I came back from the Holy Land. The last night we were in the Holy Land, we stayed in the Kidron Valley. How many know where the Kidron Valley is? Stayed in the Kidron Valley. That night, I had an encounter with a demon. I mean, I can't, you know, you can believe me or not, it's up to you. God's my witness. He knows I'm standing here telling you what I know happened to me. But I had an encounter with a demon, and it was not, I'd never had anything happen to me like that. And I am in the Holy Land. I am in the Kidron Valley. I'm right smack in the middle of all of it, and this demon comes after me. And I mean, I wrestled with that thing, and I called upon God that night, and I cried out to the Lord that night, and I remember the evil of that thing as it was trying to destroy me. But I got through it, and then I came back to Knoxville, and I got in this house right up here, and about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, I forget what time it was, somewhere along in there, I got up and came out on the back porch and sat down on the swing. I couldn't sleep, just too much. You get all messed up anyway when you travel, you know, jet lag. I've been all over the place. And I came out and sat down on that swing, and something began to move in my soul. Something began to move over me. And I mean glory and joy and peace and power began to flow like oil being poured down on me. And I got up off of that swing, and I got down on my knees, and I buried my head down there against the wall, and it just kept coming and kept just like pouring it down upon me. Glory and joy and power coming down from above upon me. And I even said to myself, "Why? What's happening to me? I couldn't put it together. What's going on here?" But I couldn't deny it. It was coming down in power and glory. It was God pouring His Spirit out upon my soul. And from that moment on, everything changed with me. I got up, and I went over there and sat down on that swing again. And it's just like God opened up heaven. Here came this word, the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit. Without the power of the Holy Ghost, you're dead. There's nothing that'll be done without the presence of Christ and the Holy Spirit. And wave after wave after wave, He began to open up the Bible to me. Moved my soul, and I couldn't take my anymore. I got up from there, went back down, got down on my knees again, and down He came and began to pour out upon my soul and my spirit. Now, you know, you can believe me or not. You don't have to believe me. And I'm not up here trying to dramatize anything and make you believe anything, but I know what happened. Yes, my wife. Amen. Ask my wife. She was around when she married the old Marine, 66. We got married in 66. But she saw the change in 73 when God saved me. She saw the different man. And then she saw another one when that power was poured out upon my soul. And then I tried to give it to the church. I tried to tell the people in the church. I tried to tell the people in the church, look, you've got to have the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life and power and glory. You've got to have the Holy Ghost. You can't do it in the flesh. You can't even do it by getting excited or by organization or man-made attempts. It may all sound good and may mean well. They mean well. But you cannot do the work of God without the Holy Ghost of God. Then in the last few years, He's really burned it in my soul. So what's that, preacher? He is in ways that I never imagined, in the ways that the Scripture opens it up to me. So what's that, preacher? Christ is everything. And if you're not preaching Christ, the Holy Ghost is not around. And to preach Christ is to preach it this unbelievable, you opening up the Bible, for one thing. He says, search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and there are they that testify of me. He began to show me places in the Bible I never saw Him before, in ways I've never seen Him before, in glory and power and joy. The Lord Jesus is all through this book. And every time I pick up the Bible, I start looking for Christ in it. Search the scriptures. And then it moves in my heart. Preach Christ. Preach the Lord Jesus. Preach him in every possible way that you possibly could. And think about the ways that you can preach Christ. Preach him as the Creator. Preach him as the Savior. Preach him as the joy of the Lord. Preach him as the holiness of God. Preach him as the one, my dear friend, who loves you like no one else loves you. Preach him as the very presence. By him simply being around, he changes everything in your life. To glorify Christ, the Holy Ghost begins to move in you. If you really lift up the Son of God, there's a movement in you by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost and the Lord Jesus are inseparable. They're inseparable. You preach Christ, you're going to have the Holy Spirit there. And then he said, now, son, watch and listen. And that's the way he made me, folks. That's the way I came into this world. He said, watch and listen. So I did. And you watch these religious services around here. You watch what's going on in these churches around here. It's about the great movement, about the great building, about the great man, about the great this, the great that, the great this, the great that. But where's Christ in it? Where's the Holy Spirit in it? He's nowhere around it. And it's dead. And you know why? You cannot be born again without the Holy Ghost. Satan is smart. If he can keep the Holy Spirit away from a place, there will be no salvation. Oh, you may become a religious person. They may hang every accolade in the world across you. They may do all this stuff for you. Sure, all that's fine, they think. But you will never get saved without the presence of the Holy Spirit. This is why the Bible said, grieve not the Holy Ghost. Quench not the Spirit. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. So now, 50 years later, I look and I think, do you regret it? No. Are there things that I'd do over again? Oh, yeah. Oh, I've messed up. Believe me, I could write a book on the times I have messed up. Believe me. But would I do it again? Would I not? Would I choose some other path in my life? No. The most fulfilling thing that ever happened to me is when Christ came to me in 1973. Amen. And I can tell you right now that if I lay my head down tonight and never wake up again in this world, I'll meet you by the river. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. And I look forward to that day. 50 years ago, Gerald Ford was the president. A Chevrolet Camaro cost $4,300. The median price of a new home was $44,200. A loaf of bread cost $1.84. The average wage was $11,700 to $12,700 a year. All these things have changed. But here's what it says in Hebrews 12:27. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Christ is as blessed and beautiful today as he ever was. Oh, he's wonderful and he's everything you need. Oh, then he'll come to you. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. Now, somebody that says something like that, surely he's either deluded or he's got something for you. When you came in here today, were you loaded, heavy laden? Are you hiding? Are you running? You don't have to anymore. You want to notice when you came in here, look on that wall. There's no numbers. It took me a while to get rid of them, but I got rid of them. Because when I came to temple, they had the little, you know how the Baptists are. They have their board, so-and-so in Sunday school, number in church, offering was such-and-such and such-and-such, and you can still find them everywhere. That's all right. I'm not trying to be mean, good night. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, folks. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And we're not going to go out here and say, oh, we had X number of people come to the altar. We had such and such got saved. We didn't make a big deal about kids being saved in Bible school. We sowed seed. And now we've had five. No, was it five the last time I heard? Five that were saved in camp. Amen. But that's not the end of it, don't you think? We may have another 5, another 10, or whatever. But I want these kids to know they're not a number. They're not just a number we get up and talk about and brag about to people. They are important. Every single one of them. Every single one of them. There's never been another one just like them. There never will be another one just like them. They are unique to this earth. They're here because God put them here. And they all have their own special relationship with the Lord. That's what they need to be taught. They don't need to be taught it by a serial fornicator. They don't need to be taught it by some guy that's sending nude photographs of himself out. They don't need that. They don't need the hypocrisy. It's a hard pill to swallow, isn't it? It's a tough one. We're all sinners. But it's the hypocrite that really gets to us, doesn't it? It's the guy that gets up there and preaches and does the very thing that he preaches against. That's a tough one. I pray we don't have it here. I was naive when the old boy was going to Germany. I thought he was going to Germany because he wanted to go to Germany. They were sending him to Germany to get rid of him. I was naive. I didn't think like that. They wanted to cover it up. They were ashamed. It would bring reproach on the church. Get your church at the door. Bring Christ in here. Who cares about that? Bring the Lord Jesus in here and glorify his holy name. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. When you walk into this house, I want you to come in here and I want you to feel Christ. I want you, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come in this place the way only he can do it. And that by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what matters. So, Father, I wasn't really sure what you wanted me to say this morning, and I hope I said what you wanted me to say. I'll not be presumptuous this morning with you and say that I can get up here and anything comes to my mind is from thee. I'm no fool. I know better than that. But I pray I glorified your holy name. I pray I laid things out in a simple, truthful, honest manner that people would understand honesty and sincerity and faithfulness when they see it. And they'll know a sideshow and a performance when they see it. I pray that you'd bless this church now. Bless every soul in the house. And let the Holy Spirit this morning glorify and lift up that blessed, righteous, sweet, holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who alone is worthy. Alone is worthy. Exalt his blessed name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. What have we got, brother?